Hey everybody, Cole here with Through the Valley. At the beginning of the podcast, I just wanted to give a little update for the release schedule of what you can be expecting as far as when episodes will come out, just to get that out in the air. So I've been trying to release episodes every week on Thursdays, but with a few things coming up and in my life personally, I'm going to move to an every other week basis for episode releases. There's a few reasons for that, just to keep you in the loop. So first, I'm in seminary right now. So over the winter break, I had a lot of time in between classes to work on these episodes and edit. But with the semester starting back up, that's going to be taking a lot of what otherwise would have been my free time and going into seminary work. Secondly, I work in college ministry at a university with my church. So I'm a college resident. Basically, that means I'm training for pastoral ministry, but in a role that focuses on college ministry. So, of course, with that, students are coming back and the semester is starting, so that's taking up a lot of my time as well. So what I'm going to do is switch to an every other week basis. That just gives me time to record, edit within the basis of 2 weeks to get quality episodes out to you guys. I don't want to short the quality or even short the ideas of what the episodes will be. Overall, I think it just gives a good pace for podcasting. It allows me to draft some ideas better and to just really think about what I'm putting out there for you guys. But as always, I would love to hear feedback, please, in comments, or you can email me at throughthevalleybook@gmail.com with just ideas about the podcast that you would like to hear. I would love to hear what you guys want as listeners and how best to support you guys. And the best way to follow the podcast for releases is on either Spotify or Apple or whatever platform you use for podcasting. So just want to give you a little update there, and let's get into our episode. Well, hey everybody, welcome to Through the Valley. This is your host, Cole. And in this episode, we're going to be starting a series on the topic of depression. So big topic. I don't know how long this series is going to go, but we're just going to explore it. We're going to explore what it is. As Christians, how can we cope with it? What is it? And even in the church, why it's important to talk about this. And I'm hoping to just glean a lot of insight, even hear back from you guys. So please engage in the comments or just email me with thoughts or things you have that you would like to hear. So we're just going to start this episode by defining it, maybe. That's probably the best place to start. What is depression? That's the question I would like to ask you. Is when you think of depression, what comes to your mind? And I know that's a big question, but maybe from your experience or from things you've learned or even from psychology, what is depression? Is it simply a feeling down and deflated? Is it a condition? Is it something that people have for a long time that takes them a while to get over? Is it chronic in the sense of are some people that are prone to getting depression going to have it later or are more prone to getting it later? From a spiritual side, is it a lack of faith? Is it not trusting in God's goodness in the moment? And that's why we feel depressed. Is it even socially just being isolated or lonely? Does it have things to do with our just biology, our brains, what isn't working in our brains or our bodies or just our rhythms? There's a lot surrounding it. And if you look in one discipline over the other, so if you look in psychology, there's different answers. If you look from a biblical side in theology, there's different answers. Socially, there's different answers. You're going to get many different answers for this question. What is depression? I don't think we're going to land on one specific set of criteria that is going to make everyone happy in this, Christian or non-Christian alike. But the important thing is that we're talking about it. And as the church, I believe it's really important that we talk about depression because it is a real thing. People have dealt with it. Even in the church, Christians deal with depression. Christians have felt depressed. There have been saints in the past who have dealt with depression their whole lives. So it's really important as a church that we talk about it, not only within your local church. I hope this is being brought up at least regularly or there's counseling available to you, but also at the church in large. What are we talking about? How much are we hearing about this from the pulpit? How much are we hearing about this in mainstream Christian preaching and teaching? It's really important that we have a handle on this because, one, the church is meant to be a hospital for the sick, right? Jesus came, I did not come to heal those who are healthy, but I came for those who are sick. And Jesus says elsewhere in Matthew, to come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, and to find rest in him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Christianity is a hospital for the sick. It's a hospital for sinners in need of grace. And that's what Jesus offers. And so it's really important that if we're looking at this specific condition from a Christian worldview, how are we talking about it in such a way that is sensitive to the person that is going through it, right? We don't just want to say, you need to have more faith, you need to move on, and that's that. We need to look at each person as they're going through their specific trial of depression and minister to them how Jesus would. So that's what we're going to get into this episode. What is depression? So think about how you would answer that, and let's cue the music. All right, welcome back to the podcast. We have a big task ahead of us for talking about depression. So as always, we need to turn to God's word. His ways are higher than our ways. His wisdom is so much greater. And I couldn't even begin to talk about this without going to God's word. I don't have a master's or doctorate in these subjects. And so I'm simply hoping that by God's word and wisdom, and just by talking about these things, that the Holy Spirit will begin to move and work in us to help us to come to a better understanding about these conditions and these things that we face in this life and fallen world. So we're turning to scripture. We always need to. So let's go to Psalm 42, classic psalm just for the downcast. My title on this psalm says, "Why are you cast down, my soul?" Just a perfect psalm to start out this series. So let me just read the psalm in its entirety, and I hope that you'll find just comfort and peace in it. The psalmist says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with a throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls the deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." It's just a beautiful psalm. If you look at it, what I love about it is it's a cry of honest faith. Now, we don't know if this psalmist was experiencing what we would call depression today. We saw this in Psalm 88 in the very first episode on the podcast. We don't know. We can't put that onto the Bible, but basically, we can relate to it, and we can find things that are similar. And what I love about this psalm is the questions. If you look in this psalm, the word "why" is just so prevalent. The psalmist is just asking questions to himself, to God. He's saying, "Why are you cast down, my soul?" He's looking at himself, and he's feeling deflated, and I would say depressed. He's wondering where God is. He's saying, "God, where are you? What are you allowing this for? My enemies are mocking me and laughing at me, saying, 'You're not with me.' I feel alone." And I love the honesty in this psalm, because it shows us that biblical faith is not immune to the griefs and the trials and, I would say, depressions of this life. That true faith is clinging to God and running to God despite what we may face. And so just an encouragement from that psalm is to to bring your questions to God, bring anything. Deep calls to deep. He knows your heart. If the Spirit lives within you, He knows your heart better than you know it yourself, and He's able to intercede for you. And the good news is that Christ is with us, and He died for us, and that He intercedes for us daily, and that no matter our weakness, we can come to Him. So I would just read that psalm if you have time. And if you're feeling downcast or depressed, go read it just for some encouragement. I have found such peace and solace in that psalm, even though the questions are left unanswered to some degree. I find a lot of peace in knowing that other saints of the faith have gone through things like this. And so, yeah, just Psalm 42, I think that gives us a good groundwork for getting into our discussion of what is depression. So let's just start off maybe by defining depression from a psychological standpoint. I think that's a good place because I'm not a professional counselor, I'm not a therapist, and so I don't want you to take this as counseling or therapy. Please, if you need that, go to a professional who's able to deal with this better. I'm just taking the knowledge that I learned from my undergrad in psychology and am trying to apply it to biblical faith, or rather trying to apply my faith to the psychology I learned. But I think that modern psychology has done a lot, albeit there's holes in it. There's things that aren't comprehensive about it. But I think that modern psychology has done a pretty good job of laying out what depression is, especially the symptoms of it. And you can find this in the DSM-5. This is basically the diagnostic manual for psychological disorders. If you go to any counselor or therapist, this is what they will pull out if they're testing you or trying to see, engage if you've had depression. So I just want to read some of these symptoms from the DSM entry on major depressive disorder. So this is different than just a depressed mood or even what circumstantial depression is, which I'll get into that. But I want to explain what major depressive disorder is from the DSM-5. So all of this comes from DSM-5. Depressive symptoms. And so to be classified as one who has major depressive disorder, you have to have equal to or greater to 5 of these symptoms during a 2-week period, the same 2-week period, and a change from previous functioning. So there has to be a noticeable change in your life. So just some of these symptoms are a depressed mood. And so what this feels like is feeling sad, empty, blue. Some people describe it as having just a cloud over them or a weight pressing down on their chest. You just feel like nothing in life is happy, or you can't find any hope, which are other symptoms. But a depressed mood, that's one symptom. A loss of interest or pleasure in things that once brought you that. And so this is the symptom called anhedonia, where things lose their appeal, or hobbies that you once did no longer are giving you the same satisfaction. Even church events, as a Christian, going to church feels hard, or it doesn't feel as pleasuresome. Social events, going and hanging out with people. Another common symptom of depression is weight loss or gain. So if you're noticing pretty drastic increases or decreases in your weight, that could be a symptom of depression. Insomnia or hypersomnia, so either not sleeping at all or wanting to sleep all the time. This for me, more on the hypersomnia side, I wanted to just sleep all the time. I was tired all the time. I didn't have any energy. That's a symptom of underlying depression. This is maybe less common, but it's still a symptom. Psychomotor agitation, basically just feeling fidgety or restless or even slow, just not lethargic. Fatigue is a big one, feeling tired, not having energy for things, feeling worthless. So this is more of a cognitive and emotional symptom, but just thoughts of feeling hopeless or worthless or feeling guilty. And so unnecessary thoughts of feeling reproach on yourself. Like if you mess up on a little thing, like let's say you forget to take the trash out and your spouse says, or your roommate says something about it, you just beat yourself up about it. Like, man, I can't believe I didn't do that. I'm such a bad person. I feel worthless. And you just ruminate on it. So kind of an element of overthinking. Decreased concentration. This is kind of a big one. Like if you notice that you're kind of daydreaming more or your attention is just drifting off, that could be a sign of underlying depression. And then lastly, more on a serious note, is just thinking more about death or even thoughts of suicide. I just want to get it out there. most people will have flashes of thoughts about suicide in their life. Most people will. It's a common phenomenon in our human experiences to think about death, to even think about what it would be like if my life wasn't here. But when it gets concerning is when you are ruminating on it and thinking more from a guilt standpoint of, man, I really wish I wasn't here, or I wish that my life would be better if I wasn't here. Those thoughts are when it gets dangerous. And please, 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 if you are thinking those thoughts, talk to somebody, open up, talk to someone you trust, call a hotline. This is serious stuff. Go to a pastor. You don't need to mess around with this. Your life is so important. God gave you your life, and you need to take this and run to someone you trust that can get you help, because this isn't a matter to be taken lightly. And just from a podcast, from a microphone, I'm telling you to get care for that. I mean, you are loved by God, and you need to hear that. On that aside, just some other criteria that may apply. You may be more agitated or angry, even irritation. I found this in my life is I wasn't necessarily sad, but I was more irritable. And underlying that was symptoms of things not giving me enough pleasure what they used to, or having unrealistic expectations on others to make me feel good about myself. Obviously, other things that can lead into depression is substance abuse. If you're abusing substances or even relying on them for a high, that can lead you to a depressed state or mood afterward. So with all that, that's just an overview of what would be called major depressive disorder. I hope by giving you the broad overview of major depressive disorder, which is kind of the catch-all of depression, that you can maybe hear some symptoms or hear some things in that description that maybe you felt or related to. Now, it's different. Like, depression isn't just experiencing one of these things. Like, right, if you're tired one day, that might be because you got a bad night's sleep. But if you're tired for 2 weeks at a time, and along with that, you're losing weight or you're losing interest in things and things feel hopeless or blue, then that's maybe a sign that you're starting to have a episode of depression. You see, these things don't just come in isolation. They come together, and really the symptoms are just describing a condition, right? Because we can't look at somebody. You can't just look at somebody and say, oh, you have depression. Like, we can't see depression, right? It's like, it just doesn't make sense. Rather, the symptoms are expressions of maybe what we would call an internal condition. Depression is an internal condition. Rather, if, you know, I had a scar on my hand from a wound, that would be an external condition that is able to be seen by others. But depression is hidden, and we have to look at these other symptoms to kind of gauge at what's happening. So overall, DSM-5, that's the criteria for major depressive disorder. I would encourage you, if you feel like you have these symptoms or have had these symptoms for a while, or even in the past have dealt with what you would call a depressive episode, I would really encourage you to go talk to a counselor or a therapist, preferably a biblical counselor or a Christian counselor that can give you perspective from a biblical worldview as well. Just to talk about it and to kind of start opening doors to see really what is behind this. Because often with depression, we can misdiagnose things. And what I mean by that is you're tired. Let's just take lack of energy. You have a lack of energy. So the first thing your mind goes to is, I need more sleep, right? And that's what other people often diagnose you as, is you need better sleep or you need to fix your diet. But what may be under that, while those things matter and may contribute to your depression, is an underlying episode of depression. And this is where it gets really confusing and convoluted, and I don't think like we know all the answers yet, but it's really hard to diagnose fully what depression is. And this is where I think modern psychology comes to a halt, is because it really, modern psychology, most branches start from the presupposition that we have to study just the brain and or the body and or society or someone's relationships or cognitive thoughts. And almost we can come to a conclusion about what depression is based on all of these things combined. But what is often lacking in psychological studies is the spiritual element. And what I mean by that is our relationship to God and how that can also play into depression. And I think this is where the biblical worldview has to come to bear on depression. See, we can't, these things are helpful. Looking at depression as a psychological disorder or condition is very helpful. And looking at these symptoms give us a lot of insight as to what depression may be from a symptomatic standpoint. But it's not the full story. You see, this is where the biblical worldview comes into play. And if you haven't listened to the episode on suffering for or a biblical worldview for suffering souls, I think that was episode 2 of the podcast. Go back and listen to that. It kind of gives an overview of a biblical approach to life and suffering and even depression and anxiety and all these disorders. So we have to look at it from a biblical standpoint. So taking these symptoms and then maybe taking the biblical story, we know that just our biology and even our relationships with other people is not the whole story. Rather, mankind was created to be in relationship with God. So there's a vertical component to our lives. And we all know this. The Bible is clear. If we've traded the true God for false gods, as we all have, the fact still remains is that we worship something. Humans were made to be worshipers because God made us that way. But we were made to be in a right relationship with God. And so first of all, any problem that we have on this earth, maybe if we're looking at other people or looking within ourselves, is first of all a worship problem. Even in our depressed moods, we're longing for something, right? What do you think about when you are feeling depressed? You think, man, there's no hope. Life's not going to get better. You're thinking that your future and your condition in your future is what is going to keep you happy or make you satisfied. So even in your depression, you're longing for something. And I would argue you're longing for eternity. You're longing for the new heavens and the new earth, which God is restoring for those who are in Christ. But you're longing for something. And in our depression, we have to realize that we are creatures living in a fallen world with fallen hearts, with other fallen people, in a fallen creation where there's sickness, death, disease, decay, all these other things. And so no wonder Christians can get depressed. No wonder people get depressed is because we live in such a fallen world. So we have to bring ourselves back to reality. Is that, one, we are made in the image of God and made to worship Him alone, but something has gone terribly, terribly wrong in this world. And this is the biblical story of creation in the fall. God created everything as good, but mankind rebelled, and our sin has brought all of this wreckage into our lives. And now our worship of God, the true God, is distorted, and we worship every other thing except Him. So first of all, any problem that we have is a vertical problem between us and God. I often found this in my depression, is that I would look to other people to fulfill what only God could. I would just hope that they would somehow come into my room and just speak to me the words I needed to hear or somehow read my mind and make me feel better. But nothing could make me feel better in those moments. No person, no thing, no event, no hobby could make me feel better. I think that's showing you and me something about eternity, is that my soul and your soul was made for God alone, and that we're longing for heaven even in our depression. But of course, the good news of the Bible is that God has come to do something about our sin. And while we remain in this body, we await a future kingdom where there will be no more sin, no more death, no more decay, depression, anxiety, et cetera, et cetera. It's because God is renewing and restoring all things through Jesus Christ. Jesus came once to defeat sin once for all. He's coming back again to rid the world of all the effects of sin and the consequences. And so while we live in this tent, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians, while we live in this tent, we groan, longing to be covered with our heavenly dwelling. But one day we will be, and we will be made right perfectly and fully in God's presence, and everything will be restored. Sin will be no more. The effects of sin will be no more. There will be no more depression because the world is at shalom once again, as God intended it, but even better because we will be in His presence forever in heaven. Long story, but taking that as a whole, how does that inform your depression? And I think coupling that with the psychological symptoms that we just looked at gives a pretty good overview of what depression is. is that when we look at the whole person, body and soul, because God created us as a unit of body and soul, somehow together in one, and we are made to be worshipers. We will worship something. But also we have bodies, and these bodies get affected by our environment, whether that's just going outside, seeing the sun, or hanging out with a friend, or not having a community, or even not getting good sleep, or getting sick. You have a body, and you have a soul. And so both of these can be affected. And I think what we have to do to define depression is look at the whole person. And the Bible just gives us an excellent overview of the whole person. But I think coupling it with modern psychology gives us a pretty good overview of how to deal with depression right now as Christians. And so as we look at this, we need to understand that there is such a thing as just depression in general. Like, people, even if they have strong faith in God, can get depressed because the environment and just things in life can go wrong, and sin is real, and sin affects us. I wouldn't say that having depression is a sin, but I would say that it can lead into sin. I would also say that depression is an effect of sin in the world. Because sin is in the world and has wrecked the creation and ourselves and our hearts, that we therefore experience depression. But I wouldn't say that simply having it is a sin. Rather, I think that it can lead into sin, right? Like, if I have self-pity on myself and dwell in that state of despair and despondency and don't reach out and go to God, like Psalm 42, like the psalmist did in Psalm 42, if I don't take my doubts and go to God and wrestle, but rather I stay in unbelief, then I would say that that does lead into sin. And so our conditions, just like being sick, isn't a sin, right? Like, if I get a cold, that's not because I sinned. Job's friends thought that. All the wrong things that happened to Job was a result of Job sinning. But Jesus shows that that just wasn't true. Rather, it's an effect of sin. So we need to look at that and say, okay, it's not necessarily because I have depression or this condition that I'm sinning, but what in my life is causing me or maybe pushing me to these thoughts of despair, or what in my life maybe isn't right and I need to look at, or maybe I just need to go to a counselor or even look at medicine. I mean, God has given us common graces in medication and therapy, and we need to use those. Just like if you have a cold, you use painkiller. There are things just from a biological standpoint in our brains that do affect how we feel in our mood. We have mood regulators and neurotransmitters, dopamine, and all these other things that affect how we feel. I don't think that should be an ultimate answer for Christians, but I do think that it should be an option and be on the table. So I'm getting really sidetracked here, but basically the point I'm making is that we have to look at depression from a holistic standpoint of body and soul, that there is such a thing as being depressed in a fallen world. As Christians, you can even have a strong faith in God, yet feel depressed and despondent. But the key is not to remain there. Rather, the key is to do everything we can, whether that's by running to God every day in our weak prayers, by reading His Word, by reaching out and being honest to others, by getting counseling and help. Because the goal is that no one would stay here, right? Like, as a Christian, we shouldn't want to be depressed. We should want to find our joy and satisfaction in Christ alone. I think depression can teach us a lot about what that means, that when you feel like nothing else will satisfy you in this life, that you have to turn to God, just like the psalmist. You have to say, God, where are you? As a deer pants for streams of flowing water, my soul pants for you, God, because I know that nothing else in this life will satisfy me. And what made you realize that? It was your depressed state. So I think we got to look at it that way. But also knowing that even as Christians, because we are spiritual beings, that there are things that we do in our sin can lead into depression. As I mentioned earlier, substance abuse, the high that comes off of abusing substances can lead into depression. Conflict, like if you are arguing every day with somebody or you withdraw from conflict, as a result of indwelling sin or somebody else's sin, that can lead into a depressed state. And so I think we need to look at this holistically, of knowing that our condition of being depressed can be caused by individual sin as well. So a biblical worldview comes at it from really the perspective of what God is doing to redeem all creation. That to some degree, we are not at fault for the effects of sin in the world, but on the other hand, we are at fault for the ways in which we worship other things except God. And that's why we need Christ and the Holy Spirit to draw us back to the Father day in and day out. That's why we need the blood of Jesus to cover our weaknesses and sins, even in depression. Spurgeon, who dealt with depression, he was a preacher back in the 1800s, he dealt with depression all his life. He's famous for saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, that there's often a gray line between depression and sin. There's often a gray line between our moods and what we, how we're sinning against the Lord in our despair. But he said, even at the cross, there's grace for that. And that's just such good news, is that even in our depression, when we fall and when we're weak and when we can't even pray and when we don't have the faith that we should, that Jesus has grace for us even in that. And if you have been bought by the blood of Jesus, that he will keep you forever, no matter how weak you feel. And I love that hymn that says, "Child of weakness, come and pray." I just love that line, that Jesus bids the weak to come to him and find rest. So as we wrap up, I know that that didn't give a specific answer to what depression is, but I hope that it gave you a good overview as to the multiple lines of really thinking in the world, from psychology to even just from a biblical standpoint of what the condition we call depression is, because there's not one definition that will catch it all. But as spiritual beings in a body, we need to look at life in a fallen world, and we need to look at how things can really affect us and how we can get depressed, even as believers, but yet how we also are made to be worshipers of the true God in Jesus Christ, and through his grace, come to his throne every day, even in the hardest moments of life. So I hope that gave you some insight into depression. We're going to just continue looking at the condition, so I'm just going to surprise you with the episodes that come out in the next 2 weeks. And so once again, we're back on the two-week schedule, so every other week we're going to be releasing podcast episodes. My name is Cole with Through the Valley, and I hope that you continue walking faithfully with him, keeping your eyes fixed on the only hope that will last as we walk through this valley to the mountain. Thank you.